good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. How about this story, Alan, that the Justice Department secretly obtained New York Times reporters' phone records during the Trump administration, the third time in recent weeks that the department has disclosed secretly sifting through journalist data during the Trump administration? Certainly a topic for the Media Project. Your thoughts this morning?
Well, there's nothing more to say except it's one more nail in the fascist plank that Trump is leading us into. You know, everything else points to it. And now the freedom of the press, First Amendment, and how important it is, we find out that they're looking at who the reporters talk to and trying to get their phone records and then holding them responsible for breaking stories. That's the way fascists operate and always have.
From the top of the New York Times this morning, Netanyahu on the verge of being ousted as opponents agree on a coalition. The longest-serving prime minister in Israel history, close to being knocked out of power for the first time in 12 years. Your thoughts this morning?
Well, it's an unlikely coalition of politicians from the far left to the far right. What's going to happen is a far right person is allegedly, and I say allegedly because we don't even know if it's going to happen, going to end up as the premier. Netanyahu, of course, will stay where he is. He's going to be in the parliament. He'll be leading Likud. Meantime, his agents are trying to pick off the people who are going to vote for this coalition. And, of course, they're all politicians, and just like they do in the United States, if they make a wrong move, they're out. And I am sure that Netanyahu will be taking names. But the idea that you have a guy who is so unpopular that people from each end of the political spectrum are willing to sit down and form a government is extraordinary. Now, look, how long that will last, we don't know. Netanyahu will, of course, be facing the criminal charges which are being brought against him. And if Netanyahu steps down, this whole thing will fall apart because the only reason they're together, the only reason they're holding hands is because they know that it's the only way to get rid of him.
From the top of the Washington Post this morning, ballot reviews consume Trump as he touts falsehood of stolen election. The former president has rebuffed calls from some advisors to drop the matter, instead fixating on an ongoing Republican commission audit in Arizona and plotting how to secure election reviews in other states. Combine that with the moves to go after voting rights in the various states. We have a situation mounting.
David, the question here is he cunning or is he nuts? In fact, there is a reality. The reality is he lost an election. He is in total denial about that, at least public total denial. Whether he puts his chin in his hand and says, I've really got them on the run, we don't know. But we do know that he is incredibly unpopular in the United States. So what he and his acolytes have been saying is, we're going to take over even without an election. It's happened in other countries. It's the way democracies have failed in the past. He had 73 million people vote for him. He encouraged what happened on January the 6th, something that might have been thought to be unthinkable before. So how dangerous is he? Very, very dangerous. And it's very alarming, David, because he has a way of urging his followers to do what is basically un-American and to create a coup, because that is what happened on January 6th. They were trying to call off an election, trying to not have the ballots counted. Even Mike Pence, his erstwhile vice president, who kissed his behind so much that it was getting to be repetitious, if anything, was being chased down the hall by Trump's people because he wouldn't call off the election, basically. Our wonderful Jim McGovern from Western Massachusetts, the 2nd District, he went ahead, did what he had to do, and Biden got elected. But guess what? It was scary. It was scary that it had even come to that in the United States of America.
But as you point out, you know, he, in terms of his popularity, is very low in the minority. He shut down his blog, Alan, I read, because people aren't reading it. So do people become less infatuated with Trump as time goes on?
David, I was just about to mention this business about the blog. He did it. He thought a lot of people would be reading it. He gave it up. Why did he give it up? Well, there's some speculation that he gave it up because nobody was listening. And it didn't have the power to mobilize people that he used to. You know, I think about this a lot. Why was he elected in the first place? Well, there were the right-wingers, of course. But there were also a lot of people who just said, hey, you know, I don't like government. I don't know about it. Here comes a guy from the outside. I watched him on television. You know, he'll shake things up and it'll be pretty good. But nobody expected what we were going to get. And nobody expected the extremism, which has been shown to be his way of doing things. So a lot of people have given up on him now. The coalition which elected him clearly isn't there anymore. I mean, the guy's in the low 30s in his approval ratings. That spells disaster for him, and he's trying to figure it out. The blog didn't work. There is now the constant idea that power could be seized in this country. You know, I talked to somebody yesterday I have great respect for who said to me, oh, the military will never let him do that. We don't know that. We suspect it. We have heard from the generals and we have heard from the other people that it would be un-American and that they wouldn't go along with it. Let's hope it's all true.
I heard a bit of your conversation on the roundtable panel yesterday with the huge load of responsibility being placed on the vice president, Kamala Harris. We first had immigration. Now she has to take on voting rights. She's got a lot to prove if she's seen as the next potential presidential candidate, right?
Yes, David. She is the heir apparent. Obviously, either this time or the time after this time. This is going to be her moment. Now, we heard from people who are writing letters saying she's being set up. After all, she's a woman, and this is an opportunity to give her two of the toughest jobs that exist in government, one of which is solving the mess, you know, at the border. Nobody's been able to do that well yet, and, you know, whether she can do it or not will certainly show the American people that here's a woman who can really be the leader of the free world and who knows how to problem solve. And we're going to just watch what happens there.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.